thank you, Julia and Danielle, for that very nice song. Time after time, he has waited what? Before. And now, he's what? He's waiting again. He wants to come into our life. What a beautiful song. Today, we will be looking at one parable in the scripture. It is written in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 7. I entitled this sermon, Not Giving Up on God. Life is difficult. Life is hard. But don't give up. Especially on God. Hang on in His hands, for His hands are powerful. I heard this story of a ship that was sinking in the middle of a storm. And the captain called out to the crew and said, "Does anyone of you here know how to pray?" And then a man stepped forward and said, "Yes, sir, I know how to pray." So the captain bid him to come. The captain said, "Wonderful. You pray while the rest of us put on our life jackets. And by the way, we're one short. Just pray and put on our life jackets." You know, what does prayer do to you? I believe that all of us know how to pray. Actually, those giants in the hearts of God who has been missionaries abroad, prayer is one of the elements of their life. George Mueller, one of the great missionaries, said that every day he has 15 minutes, three 15 minutes in life. The first 15 minutes was he asked God to talk to him. The second 15 minutes is he shared his faith to others. And the third 15 minutes is he talked to God in prayer. And by the way, prayer is not finished when you say amen. Prayer is finished 15 minutes after you said amen. So when you say amen, don't go and rush to open your television. Give God 15 minutes. Give your soul a time to repose in God's heart for 15 minutes, and you will enjoy the presence of God in your life. Jesus Christ once said, "If you have faith, you can move these mountains." Is this sound familiar to you? If you have faith, you can what? Move mountains. But how many of us move a mountain yet? How about a heart of a person who is a sinner? Well, if you continue the verse, Jesus said, you know, by faith you can move mountains, but he said, he made it clear, but this will only happen by prayer. You know, we emphasize so much on faith. And we less emphasize what? Prayer. This morning we look at the parable of a persistent widow. And if you have your Bible, please open with me. This is in Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterward he said with himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she will weary me.'" And we will look on that. But first we pray. Loving God, this congregation is seated to understand, to learn your word.
I pray, talk to us whatever is your will, that our faith may be edified while waiting for your second coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
I would like you to see the context of this. Without looking at the context, you might not well appreciate the significance of this parable. In the preceding text, in the preceding chapter, in Luke chapter 17, Christ talks about the coming of God's kingdom. Christ points out that while his people wait on the coming of Christ, they need to pray. So a part of, or the later part of chapter 17, Christ talks about his coming. About his coming. The great theme in the scripture, the theme that is often preached about the coming of Christ. And in chapter 18, he talks about the importance of praying while waiting for Christ's coming. He said, then he spoke a parable to them after telling them his coming, that men always ought to pray and not what? And not to lose heart. I believe that all of us here are waiting for Christ's coming. You say amen?
Amen.
Are we praying? Do we pray constantly? Are there points in our life that sometimes we lose this faith? Sometimes faith is gone because of troubles and challenges in life. It's hard to wait for the coming of Christ. It's 2,000 years since he spoke it first. But I know that he will come. And he wants us to keep this faith. And for this faith to be kept by us, we need to pray. The Gallup poll in 2000 shows that 90% of Americans pray. I hope that, you know, all of us are part of this. Maybe I'm not. I'm not American yet, sorry. But, you know, majority. 86% said they believe in God. Look at this. 86% said they believe in God, but 90% of Americans pray. So there are 4% that don't believe in God, but yet they pray. Because prayer is what? It's very important. In 2010, 10 years after, 83% say this God answers prayers. And 92% say there is a God. The poll shows that, you know, it describes a God. It doesn't specifically mentions about the God in heaven. But many people today believe that there is what? There is a God. And this God answers what? Prayers. Prayer is one of the avenue where people seek refuge in their life. How many people are now troubled in their life? And there is no way to talk about. They cannot talk it to other people because these people don't care about them. Or these people will talk their problem to other people. So instead, they talk it over to God. I would like to tell you and invite you, church, pray. God hears what? Prayers. I believe that Seventh-day Adventists, being a church that emphasizes the coming of Christ, we need to be more prayerful so that we will be powerful in witnessing the life and the love of Christ throughout the world. Let's go back to the parable and let us observe the key highlights of this story. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. You know, this judge was a crook judge. This judge did not care anything about God, nor care anything about people. This judge was irreligious and inhumane. His heart was not with God, and his heart was not with people. What he cared about is himself and his own life. He lives for himself alone. That is the judge in this story. one author, his name was Warren Wiersbe, you know, describes the court system during the time of Christ. And he said it this way. The courtroom was not a fine building, but a tent that was moved from place to place as the judge covered his circuit. The judge, not the law, set the agenda. And he sat regularly in the tent, surrounded by his assistants. Anybody could watch the proceeding from outside, but only those who were approved and accepted could have their case tried. This usually meant bribing one of the assistants so that he could call the judge's attention to the case. Now, there is a problem with this story. Because this judge was a callous judge, he is a crook judge. He cares about himself. He doesn't care about people. In this parable, this judge continually ignored the plea of the widow. He doesn't listen. Unfortunately, this widow is what? Doesn't have money to bribe. According to the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 27, verse 19, cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, and widow. And when the people heard this, all the people shall say, Amen. But this judge is not one of these people. He was a crook and wicked judge. He doesn't care about people. The next part of this story is a widow. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, to the wicked and crooked judge, saying, Get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she, what, weary me. You know, in the original manuscript, Jesus Christ is sort of joking here. You know, this last part here, lest by her continual coming she weary me, you know, literally that means, you know, by the course of time, if I will not listen to this widow, she might give me a black eye. That's why she said, okay, I give up, I listen. But look at how this widow is what? Importunate. Maybe you have heard it before, but widows are what? Doesn't have influence in the society. Does not have money to bribe. Does not have people around to help her or to help them. No influence. No people. No one to support. She has no husband at all. Because she is a widow. No one will take her case before the court. But she does not give up. Did you hear that, church? She doesn't have people. She doesn't have money. She doesn't have influence. She doesn't have husband. But she doesn't know how to give up. She keeps on what? She keeps on coming to the judge. There was something that is lying heavily in her heart. There is something, and she is crying for justice. The Bible doesn't say what that justice is all about, but the justice that she is craving is heavy in her heart. That's why she keeps on what? She keeps on bugging the judge. But of no avail. If we look at the original language, in verse 3, in this text where it says, Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, Get justice for me from my adversary. You know, the language of that part means what? That daily, every day, this widow keeps on following the judge wherever the judge goes. If the judge goes in the courtroom, the widow follows him. If the judge is in the market, the widow follows him. If the judge goes to the street, the widow follows him. She is omnipresent in the eyes of the judge because she doesn't what? Give up. She doesn't give up. She doesn't know how to give up. And the result was the widow eventually got what she wanted. The judge ultimately said, "Though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will what? I will avenge her." Persistent faith, not knowing how to give up, is key in a successful Christian journey. If one of you here is about to give up in his or her faith, don't give up, friends. God is listening. God is listening. God is there. Actually, prayer is one of the great recipes in the life of the great man of God. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, it says, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." That is who Daniel was. And when you know, Daniel, when the king had a dream, and no one can tell the king about his dream, Daniel stood up and said, "Give me what? Give me a few days and I will pray to my God. And this God whom I shall serve and I'm serving will give me your dream, O king." There was a time that praying is put under ban in the empire of Babylon. But Daniel prayed how many times? 3 times. And in this text, Daniel said, "By prayer and supplications, I seek before you, O my God." David, in Psalm 55, verse 17, he said, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." How many times does David pray? 3 times in the morning, at noon, in the evening. I believe that when David was tempted with Bathsheba, because he forgot to pray. With prayer, you always have this arsenal against any temptation of the enemy. You know, sometimes we neglect prayers because sometimes we don't know how to pray, or it looks like we are very particular with prayer. That's why we stop praying. There was a story of 3 pastors. These pastors are talking over the phone. And a telephone repairman is listening towards their conversation. And one of the pastors said, "You know, I want to tell you that when you pray, you need to fold your hands and point to heaven. Because this is a symbol of worship. When you pray, you need to worship." The second pastor said, "You know what, when you pray, I don't think it's about folding your hands. When you pray, you need to kneel. Because when you kneel, you're showing humility. You're showing to God that you're humble." The third minister said, "You know what, it's not about folding your hands. It's not about kneeling. It's about opening your hands. This is how to pray so that God will listen." And after a while, the repairman who is listening on the 4th line, he said, "You know what? I don't know what is your posture right now, but I can hear you." You know what? It's not about our posture. It's about saying something to the Lord. It doesn't matter to God when you fold your hands, when you kneel, when you open your hands. Just open your mouth and say something to the Lord. God is listening. God knows what we are saying. We forget to pray because we think sometimes that God is like a spare tire. We all have our cars, right? What is a spare tire? We forget about our spare tire for months. We enjoy driving. We don't know even if we have a spare tire. We don't know. We don't care about it. We don't even check it. But when our journey goes flat, we go to the spare tire. Sometimes when life is easy, we forget about God. When times is hard, we come to God. Church, God is not a spare tire. He is more than that. He doesn't deserve to be called as a spare tire. Sometimes we regard God as like a $3, you know, Starbucks coffee. We have it, we sip it, we sit, we talk, we enjoy, we relax, we put it on our side, we take it, sip it, talk, enjoy. Friends, God is not like that. God wants to be part of our life. God wants us to be serious with so many things. He wants us to enjoy this life, but He wants us to enjoy Him. Sometimes we forget to pray because of this law. And I came across to this law. It says, the law of diminished returns, LDR. I don't have PowerPoint to show that, but this is LDR, means law of diminished returns. When we pray, we expect God to listen and hears us. But, you know, we ask God for a million, but He gives us a dollar. And that is a diminished return. That's why we stop on what? We stop on praying. You know what? God always has four answers to our prayers. What I know is three, but there are four. The first answer of God is yes. The second answer of God is no. The third answer of God is wait. And the fourth answer is, you don't know what you're asking about. And that is our God. Sometimes we ask, and we don't know what we are asking about. Remember in prayer, this word. Push. Pray until what? Something happens. Don't give up. The widow doesn't know how to give up. She prayed until something what? Happens. That is the life of this widow. And then eventually the judge listened to her. We'd like to share you this story. This is my last story. 2 years ago, my son Monarch had a lump here on the side of his left ear, and also has a lump in his groin. I went with him in the doctor and said, you know, we cannot remove this lump because, you know, he might lose his hearing. We might start, you know, removing the lump in his legs. I said, you know, at that time, being a father is very tough, it's very hard. How about if this lump will continue to stay, and if there is a need of surgery, and if he loses his hearing, what would happen? So I prayed. The surgery came, the lump in the groin was removed, the lump in the ear stays. But we prayed. We pray until something happens. After 2-3 months, the lump was gone. Pray until something what? Happens. Bring your ball in the court of God. He knows how to handle it. He knows how to take care of it. He is listening. In this parable, it tells us, the conclusion of this parable, it says, and shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? You know what? Jesus Christ compares this wicked judge to a righteous God. If this wicked judge finally gave up and listened and answered the prayer of this widow, how much more with a righteous God? The answered prayer of this widow gave me and gave us as a church a compliment in our faith. Why? Because this widow is a stranger, not related to the judge. But we are not a stranger to our God. We are God's best friends. We have a relationship with God. The widow doesn't have a relationship with the judge. The widow came to the judge alone. But when we come to God as church, we are many. That is one of the beautiful things in this church. When you pray, you don't pray alone. You pray, and your prayer is just one of the many prayers offered to God by this church. When you pray for ministry, you're not only the one praying for ministry. Many people are praying for ministry in this church. She came to the judge and bade her distance. We come to the Father, and he says, come. When the widow approached the judge says, go away, but not with us in our God. When we come to God, God says what? Come. He invites us. The widow only has an access to the judge for a certain point in time, but we can come to God day and night. The widow doesn't have an advocate, doesn't have a husband, doesn't have a friend, but us is different. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The prayer of this widow was irritation in the ears of this judge. But the prayers of the saints are the delights of the Lord. Church, come to God in prayer. While we are waiting for his soon coming, we pray. God wants us to stand firm in this faith. And we stand firm in this faith if we keep on praying. And when we don't lose this faith and we lose our heart, surely meet you in heaven. God bless you. Loving God, thank you so much for the instruction you have given to us this morning. I pray, Lord, that keep the faith of this church and your church worldwide. We and this in this journey where things are not always good for us, there are many pressures in life, there are many challenges, problems. But thank you because you have encouraged us to pray while we wait for your second coming. Bless us, Lord, today as we go out from this holy edifice. In Jesus' name, amen.